on January 24, 2008, national polygamy advocate Mark Henkel was interviewed again by Christina Kendall for 2020 on ABC News.
Thursday, January 24, 2008, 2 weeks after having spent 3 days in the West Coast with a family.
Hi, you've reached Christina Kendall at ABC News 2020. I'm sorry I wasn't able to get your call, but please leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And operator, this phone accepts all collect calls.
Record your message at the tone. When you are finished, hang up or hold for more options.
Good morning, Christy. This is Mark Henkel calling about 20 past 9 in the morning. I'll try your cell, I guess. We'll talk again. Talk sometime today. Bye.
Hello,
Christy.
Yes.
Mark Henkel here.
Hey, Mark. I'm just actually leaving for work. Can I call you in a little bit when I get in?
Call me at the number.
Hold on. The what number?
No. It's 207.
Hold on. It's the number I have, right?
It should be. It should be the main one.
Okay.
But otherwise, I'll call you back when you call me.
Okay, yeah, I'm just waiting for the office now. I'll be in like 45 minutes.
Sounds good.
Okay, bye.
Bye now. Thanks.
Hi, you've reached Christina Kendall at ABC News 2020. I'm sorry I wasn't able to get your call, but please leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And operator, this phone accepts all collect calls.
Record your message at the tone. When you are finished, hang up or hold for more options.
Hey, Christy, Mark Henkel again. I'm just calling back after having reached you on the cell phone. I know you were hurried, and that's no problem. I understand. So when you call back, the number is 207. Thanks. Talk to you then. Bye. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Christy?
Very good.
Good. 10:30, we finally made it.
Barely.
Barely.
I sent you another email. The subway was running a little late.
Yes, and I emailed you back saying okay.
Oh, yeah. I got that.
Okay.
And you sent me the number, which was brilliant because I had two other
numbers.
Numbers.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry.
Brilliant.
Crazy. Okay. so let me go through your email, and let's just talk about the issues you raised.
Well, who is the other family?
They are. Remember, I mentioned the Hebrew Israelite community.
Okay.
So it's a family from the Hebrew Israelite community.
Okay. So is this an isolated community? Although it's not Mormon, it's going to be the same thing. It's they're broken off into an isolated.
No. They live, and they have small businesses, and I don't know. I don't know the details of this family, to be perfectly honest. I haven't done a pre-interview with them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the details of their interview are still up in the air, and if that's going to happen.
Okay, because I'll be honest with you. I mean, I woke up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat that you guys are going to use another family and once again tell America that polygamists live in isolated communities.
No. I mean, that's not the point of the story.
Yeah.
The point of the story is to point out to Americans we're amongst you, and this isn't some like freaky thing.
Well, that's the thing, you know, the community. What we need people to understand that the true reality is that one, we're American, and that's why I was concerned if it was the Hmong, because there is a Hmong community in Chicago as well, refugees from Laos. I don't know if you're familiar with their story or not.
Yeah, I am.
And that, you know, one of the red meat issues right now of the Republican Party is illegal immigration. And all of a sudden, polygamy is going to be associated with an immigrant community, and I'm like, oh my golly, here we go, you know. And that's going to be a nightmare, bringing a whole new issue for us that we're not even about, you know.
I understand what, and I totally see what you're so sweet. Like you just, it's just so nice. Like you care so much, and you really see. I didn't even think about that. But no, I don't think that will be an issue. I have to talk to these people, so I can't like tell you one way or the other what they're like or anything. And as soon as I do, you know, I'll give you a sense. But
well, I appreciate that you'll give me a sense, because I will say, and you'll probably get a kick out of this, but what you kind of have here, by bringing another family in, given that our family agreed based on the story being about me, is that this is kind of an example of forced polygamy itself. In that you and I have had an agreement, as we understood it, that it was our family was coming to support the story of me, and now you're bringing another. It's like you're bringing another family in, like another a man bringing another wife in that wasn't agreed with what we were agreeing.
That's not how it feels, because I gotta tell you, I mean, again, the story isn't about you. It's about this issue of non-Mormon polygamy, about polygamy rights, which you talked about, and you are an amazing advocate, and you are going to do an amazing interview, I have no doubt. And as soon as you do that interview, I'll be able to give you all sorts of assurances about how much you're going to appear in the segment and what you're going to be, you know.
I suppose I can only see the applicability of the...
Listen, the family in Oregon was really good. They're not the family in Oregon.
Yeah.
Philip and Cheryl and Nancy, they were good, but they're not the most TV friendly of individuals. So that's also a struggle.
Well, the problem is that they are the best story that tells what we're really about. And you know, here's what I'm afraid of is that
in terms of their story, yeah. In terms of, you know. It's going to be fine.
Well, I mean, I can see potentially and only the idea of the Hebrew Israelite, that you were saying, as associated with the interview that you have with Patricia Dixon.
Right.
Exclusively. But in terms of actual activism and for polygamy rights, they're not really... necessarily an activism, as it were. They, you know, they're just living their life off in their own privacy.
Absolutely, right.
You know.
Well, but that's also the same for Philip and Cheryl and Nancy. I mean,
well, no, that's not true, because they're part of the organization, and that's why they were willing to support, because they were, you know, in fact, actually, we have to step back here for a moment. Remember how the family we visited, you know, that they thought they were going to be having pixelized faces. You know, and also how, you know, they decided eventually to actually let you guys film inside their house, because that wasn't going to happen, remember? Both of those two things we were able to overcome because of trust, and they trusted me, and I went to work to make that happen for you, and they trusted that the story was about us and what we're doing. And
Mark, it is.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, I thought that that your big issue with them, though, was that you wanted to make sure that they weren't the whole story.
Well, we don't want circus acts in general being the whole story. I think they're certainly the best example to use for any form of utilizing the circus act portion of the story. Certainly better than any tribal community situation or the...
This is not a tribal community. I mean, this is a religious community. Very... steeped in the Old Testament. I don't think that they would approve. I don't think that they would agree with being called tribal.
Well, maybe not tribal, but my point being is, you know, it's not like there's organized factions where they're fighting for polygamy rights necessarily, or you see them doing spin responses to public events and things of that nature.
That's definitely your role.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's why you are out there as a national polygamy activist.
Mm.
And that's why you're going to...
Actually, the word is advocate, actually.
Advocate.
You said activist.
Activist, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Advocate. And it's... you're right, activist has more negative connotations.
Mm-hmm.
Advocate. And it's... like, come in. When you do your interview, it will be... it'll be fine. And once I get your interview in the can, I know that I'll be able to have a transcript and see that, you know, it should be much better.
Right. Well, I'm organizing my talking points so that I can put them into reduced length sound bite and communicate the message.
Great.
You know, so that I can get it across, because I do speak a big parent.
Let's just go over a few things that I'm going to need, actually.
Okay, because I do not want to, you know, have to deal with new issues, you know, like the immigrant issue and all that business. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah.
Right, I totally agree with you.
Mm-hmm. By talking points, I meant in terms of anticipated questions so that I would then answer them as briefly and best soundbite for TV for you.
I mean, I just want you to share your passion.
Right, right.
I don't want you to think about it too much, though, because sometimes when people think about it too much, then they start to sound canned, and I want...
Oh, that's not going to happen. My point is I just need to have a concise way to make sure I respond, as long as I've already seen it in my mind and seen it, you know, written out and so forth, I can have a general outline of how I'm going to go through an answer and get to that point more quickly than...
Remember the way that you talked to me the first time we talked on the phone?
Right.
Like, you were great.
Yes, but that you made that very clear. That doesn't work well for TV. I've got to bring I've got to bring 3 pages down to a sentence, you know?
Yeah, all right, and that's true. I want you to be yourself, too, because
sure.
I thought that you were great.
Yeah.
I sold you.
Yeah.
To John as who you are.
Right, right.
I want that person to show up.
Oh, and that's not, that won't be a problem. That won't be a problem. All I'm saying is I'm doing my job to help assist that for you. But it will not be, this is what I remembered and wrote down and memorized. It won't be like that.
So let's just talk about a few areas.
Okay.
Let's talk about, first thing, I need you to contact the family and ask them ask Cheryl if she has any pictures of herself after she got beat up by her former husband.
Okay.
Or any pictures of the trailer that she lived in. Not a trailer, a camper.
Okay.
She talks about both those things.
Right, right, right. If they could show a picture of
her. And
of
the two women, she's definitely more attractive than the other.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, very definitely. I mean, there's no doubt. I mean, I
think that's the one thing. They're not
gorgeous.
They're,
but, you know, again, you know, that's actually the thing.
I know.
You know, remember, in fact, it proved to you what I was saying on the car ride up.
Yeah, but I have a feeling that your family is a little more attractive, Mark, okay? So let's just be honest, okay?
Oh. Well, I'm always going to say my family's beautiful, but that's just, you know.
Let's just know that I'm dealing with the reality of television. And so it's like, we're going to do our best with what we've got.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got some great stuff. And Philip is actually really a pretty good-looking guy, in my opinion. So I think for an older gentleman, he's great.
You talking about Philip?
Yeah, Philip.
Yeah, Philip, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So Cheryl's pics of being abused or trailer camper.
Yeah. And I have a book. John signed a book his assistant just brought down to me yesterday that I'm going to send to you for
right,
them.
Right.
With a thank you note in it from him, and then I have a thank you note for them.
Okay, that's fine.
So I'm going to send that over.
That's right. You get the address, right? You should.
Your P.O. box, I have.
Right. That'll work.
Okay. So, and that will, I have to send that standard mail because you can't get DHL packages.
To USPS, right.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Okay. So, that's one piece of business. The other piece is, let me go through these other interview questions and just raise some areas. Oh, and one thing that Patricia Dixon brought up in her interview, which I thought was really good, and I think that you could maybe even nail much better, is the shortage of, she's talking about, in the African-American community, mostly specifically, how there's a shortage of good black men.
Yes.
And how this, this is a great way to get men to compete.
Yes. Well, that's my whole laissez-faire argument.
Right, right. And I think that whole argument is going to be really rich for John. So I'm going to be sure to have some questions related to that.
Well, that's my 10 men and 10 women soundbite.
Yeah. So what's that soundbite?
If you have 10 men and 10 women, and 9 of those men are jerks, 1 man, 1 woman is oppressed 9 of those women.
That's great. Okay. That's good.
Even Dr. Joyce Brothers, here's a clip for you.
Think about even doing that.
Here's a clip you can actually get. I could tell you it was on December 22, 1994, on the Comedy Channel, Bill Maher's Politically Incorrect. Dr. Joyce Brothers said, "I'd rather be the third wife of a good man than the only wife of a jerk." If you can get that.
December
22nd. 1994.
Politically Incorrect?
Yeah, Bill Maher's, Mayer's, M-A-H-E-R.
Yeah, I know.
Politically Incorrect. Dr. Joyce Brothers said that. Now, of course, Politically Incorrect has gone from the Comedy Channel to some other channels, I'm sure, over the years. But the point is, that's when she said it.
ABC back then, Bill Maher, Dr. Joyce Brothers. I have a pretty stellar researcher, so we'll see if he can see if you can find that.
Right.
Okay, good. Hold on, let me just open these questions.
Right. In fact, I'm the one who has brought that to our community's attention, because, of course, it was December 22, 1994, and the movement had only just begun that year. So I was very much, I wrote that down, logged it in, and wrote the date, the time, the show, the bibliography of it, so I know exactly when she said it. Of course, that might have been a taped, but I'm just saying, I know that's when it appeared.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing that was good is, like, she was really great. There was a few moments when she was especially great when she was like, we already have polygamy today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just we don't call it that.
Serial polygamy.
We have serial polygamy. Or, you know, men go out and have affairs. Like, what percentage? It would be valuable. I'm going to try to find some of these Kinsey Institute studies
mm-hmm.
that talk about, like, how many men admit to having affairs, and men and women.
Right.
Because I think that's another really powerful argument on your side.
Sure. Well, then there's always the Girls Next Door show with Hugh Hefner on
you. I have that. I had the guys pull that. Would you be sure to reference that, please, in your interview?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Also, if you have any references to any other celebrities I've already mentioned to you, you know, anyone who's had, like, serial marriages, that will all be extremely helpful.
Serial marriages?
Serial marriage. Well, you know, marriage and divorce. You know, a lot of celebrities get married and divorced. Like, I don't know, what's that singer woman? She was, I don't know.
Well, I know, like, Elizabeth Taylor has done that, but that's the reverse.
She's, like, famous for that.
Famous for multiple marriages. Yeah, she's, like, 7 times or something, yeah.
What was that other woman, the singer? Hey, Andrew? What's the, she's Spanish. The singer who got married and divorced a few times. She's married to Mark Antony now. Didn't Jennifer Lopez get married like 5 times?
J-Lo.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But, of course, I mean, my argument...
She's one of her dancers. Sorry, hold on.
No problem. Yeah, she did. She married a dancer.
Yeah.
She married one of her dancers, and then she,
And now she's married to Mark Antony. Anyway,
right.
Like, there's people like that. It would be good, you know.
Yeah.
Any...
Well, what's his name? Rudy Giuliani.
Perfect. Love it. Great.
You know? And actually, that's interesting. There has been recent talk of how Mike Huckabee had made the comment. He's basically been pushed into the whole outwardly declaring his support of the marriage amendment, where before he was trying to be kind toward the Mormon there.
Okay,
what's his name?
I'll have him ask you some questions about the marriage amendment.
Right. Well, actually, what I was thinking was is that a quote at beliefnet.com interview that Mike Huckabee just made was that once if you start redefining marriage, you know, you've opened it up to other redefinitions. And my answer to that is, you're exactly correct. When the anti-polygamists redefine marriage to exclude polygamy, they're the ones who opened up the door to redefinition by homosexuals.
Right, that's true.
You know, that becomes anti-polygamy is the real slippery slope that led to same-sex marriage. And that's a soundbite I think that's always important.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're going to probably stay away from the whole gay marriage thing, though, in this piece. So I don't.
Well, isn't that that's where Sprigg takes it? He thinks we're copying them or coming after them. And the reality is that it's the anti-polygamists who brought us to same-sex marriage. So we're not the result of you can't let gay marriage because it's going to lead to us. The issue is they created the path to same-sex marriage by letting government be involved in the first place and giving homosexuals a reason to join the pursuit. You know, I mean, I've got a funny, if you will, a sort of a soundbite, as it were, that it's, anti-marriage controllers say that they, they're usually conservatives for limited government, but instead what they are, they're like straight men who offer their backsides up to big government and wonder why they get screwed. And then they wonder why homosexuals want to join in their orgy of socialism, you know, with same-sex marriage. The bottom line is that they've created the path to same-sex marriage as a legal construct that never would have happened if government had never redefined marriage to exclude polygamy in the first place.
Well... Same-sex marriage would be allowed. It's just...
Well, but then people had a right to an imagination. No one would be redefining marriage then. And that's why, actually, polygamy rights is the win-win solution to end the marriage debate for both sides of the issue.
Right.
Everybody wins with polygamy rights solution.
I'm just just looking. I mean, you mentioned Peter Sprague, and I just got his transcript back.
Yeah.
So I will go through that this morning and see if there's any.
I definitely would like to be able to give a response to what he has to say. I know that you had indicated.
That's why we did his interview first.
Yeah. Oh, great. That would be good. I mean,
we already did it, so you can respond.
Yeah.
No, that was the other thing that was good about waiting to do the interview, remember?
Yeah. Right. Because it's my understanding that he was saying the moral relativist idea that we have to make the case of why we should be allowed.
Right. That was what he was making. He was making that point with me on the phone when I did the pre-interview.
Yeah.
I just...
he didn't touch on that.
What?
He didn't touch on that in the interview itself?
I don't remember exactly what he said. That's why I'm actually just...
Okay.
I can't actually look at this and talk to you at the same time. I'm not...
Of course.
Well, no, I was trying to, but it's like it doesn't work.
Do you need me to be quiet for a minute?
No, I don't need you. I'm just going to do it when we get off the phone.
Okay.
All right, so let's... I'm going to go through... I'm actually going to work on your interview questions right now.
Okay.
The Peter Sprague interview. Then you and I can talk again. I haven't done the pre-interview with this other family. Once I do and get a sense of them and what they say, my sense is that they're going to talk about a lot of the same things. They have a couple things up on the family in Oregon, like they're willing to come to New York for an interview, and I don't know. I'm hoping that they're like a little more attractive. So we're going to see if that works out. But I don't think that they're going to say anything different than that family. I don't anticipate that. If you read Patricia Dixon's book mm-hmm. about it, like, that community, the women in that community are making the same arguments the women in Oregon were making. Like, I don't think that there's anything for you to be waking up in a cold sweat about. I feel terrible that that's where you woke up in the middle of the night. I woke up in the middle of the night to give my son a bottle.
What's that?
I woke up in the middle of the night to give my son a bottle at 1:30.
Yeah.
Which is a better reason.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think you should be worried about that. I appreciate that you are so thoughtful about it and that you were thinking about the immigrant issue, because I do think that you're right, that would confuse the piece, but part of my job is to keep this piece on track, and I don't want that to happen either.
So you're not actually contemplating, just because they may be more attractive, that they become the new model family?
No.
And I'm going to be commenting about that rather than actually the family in our organization.
No, I don't think that will be the issue at all. But I have to see what they say also and talk to them. And I don't want to have gone out to Oregon and spent all that time and energy for nothing. Plus, we have a lot of great footage of them working together. It's really beautiful what we've got.
That's why we wanted, you know, that this is a family part of our organization and the pursuit of polygamy rights, and that we're normal, mainstream, conservative Christian.
And they did a very good interview. Mm. I have good bites that I had John bring up from them to Peter Sprague, so those are already in the mix, you know, in terms of being part of the fabric of this piece right now.
Okay.
So
you probably get the scum soundbite, right?
I have to open that document. I'll tell you. Because they really had some great things.
After the phone unfortunately disconnected, Mark Henkel called Christina Kendall right back.
Christy Kendall, ABC.
Hello, Christy. This is Mark Henkel calling you right back.
Good to talk to you.
You too.
All right. So, thank you for making a phone call today. I appreciate it. Biblicalpolygamy.com. I've gone there.
Right.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, let's talk about how you want to proceed then.
Okay. Is this for like a 1/3, 20-minute segment of a show, like, say, 2020, or is this a single hour that John's got all to himself like he's had before?
No, I mean, this is going to be... I'm not sure. It's definitely going to be a John piece.
Yes, I realize that.
The segment, and it'll run on 2020. I'm not sure if it'll be a whole hour
right.
or if it will be a 2020 piece.
Okay. Because, I mean, I'm sure we could develop an hour-long show. you know, if that's what you want to do, depending on where you want to go with it. I can think of, there's possibilities if we take our time with this. We could even explore families that are looking to be polygamous that aren't, and actually, seeking, if you will, in searching for a second wife. And that's certainly in other words, these are people with husband and wife, and they're both wanting to be able to find another one, which could be another element that could be
that's really interesting too.
Added to the story, exactly. In fact, there's even a site that raises money for the polygamy rights through its service of polygamy personals called twowives.com. And they use our hosting service. It uses our hosting service and all that. So I certainly could have access to using my celebrity, as it were, and obtaining interested families that might be willing to talk about the fact that they're looking.
I mean, right now, what I have approval to do is
okay.
To do a piece.
Okay. So a segment, then. No, it's not a full show.
No, but
okay.
What you're talking about is so interesting.
Sure.
This is what I would suggest. I would suggest that we proceed with doing this as a piece.
Okay.
There's so much material out there, and if you and John have this interview, it's just, electric.
Right. Right.
If there's stuff, and then...
For example, I could see, a situation
of... It could expand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It could become a later show.
I never want to say never,
Yeah, right.
Because what you're just describing to me sounds really interesting.
Sure. Oh, somebody once described our topic as like an onion. I mean, there's just so many layers to it.
Right.
And I can certainly see so many different ways or layers or even spokes on a wheel, as it were,
yeah.
That we could explore as mini segments of the whole segment.
Exactly. And
yeah.
I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Right.
I don't want to make promises.
Of course not. Of course not.
But I think that would be really interesting. It's an open door policy. There's nothing to escape from. There's more hands to do the work. There's entirely more freedom. It's one big happy family. It's not focused on sex. It's a love relationship. It's love, not force. If you want to be a single man, if you want to be a prisoner, think about being a single mother without any help. Think about being in a monogamous relationship where you don't have any choices or options. And then here's the quote in the question. It's better to have a nice, good husband that you share than to have a mean, abusive scum to yourself.
Right, right, right. That was such a perfect soundbite.
It was good.
Yeah.
John thought it was almost, too much. He was like, this might be, too much.
But that's so exactly what we're trying to explain.
No, I know, but that's why I want the photos of her.
Yeah.
Any photo that kind of depicts how tough her life was back then. Ideally, I would love to see... I mean, this sounds horrible.
The worst, the better.
The worst.
The worst, the better.
Like, a police photo of her beat up.
Right, right.
Something that... in the hospital. Shot of her in the hospital after she had been abused.
Right.
A black eye.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded to me like it was absolutely horrible what she went through with him.
Yeah.
So any photo that would, illustrate that is going to make for a powerful...
would certainly assist that argument, sure.
Right, you understand why...
Oh, totally. No, I understand the drama it builds. And actually, I'm with you on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, anyway...
And that would definitely be the kind of way I'd rather take this story than bringing other families and stuff like that,
I understand. I totally understand. All right. So, I hope you're feeling a little better.
A little.
Okay, good. Let's be in touch again either later today or tomorrow, and
okay.
We'll talk about...
you said right now you were going to go start reading the... preparing the questions for me.
I want to read the Peter Sprigg, and then I want to work on your questions. As I mentioned before, we don't give questions in advance, but what I do is I can tell you areas that we're going to go over.
Right.
I've already done that a little bit today.
Sure.
And then we'll do it some more tomorrow.
Right.
And I think then we'll be in pretty good shape.
Okay.
Also, I'm hoping to talk to this family and I can give you some more details about them.
Okay.
I know them.
That's definitely, because I know it's going to be very shocking to the family if they see another family in the story that wasn't affiliated with our organization. So that's,
Well, let's see how it goes. I won't freak them out about it at this point because right now it's totally possible that
it doesn't even get included.
It even happen.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't...
Right.
I'm not...
Because, I mean, I can certainly see the idea of a B-roll playing in the background of Patricia Dixon talking about that situation. You know, but in that, I don't think would be any problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's just take it one step at a time.
Okay.
I generally think it's not a good idea to get all worked up and upset about something that we just don't even have a handle on yet. You know, once we have a handle on it, then...
Well, I just want to make sure the story's going as planned.
What?
You know, I'm just needing to make sure the story goes as planned.
I get it. Yeah.
You know.
I get it.
You know that beast I'm up against.
What?
You know that beast I'm up against.
No, you're doing your job, and I appreciate that. Okay.
Cool.
All right. So
we'll be in touch.
Have a great day.
Thanks, now. You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.
Mark Henkel is National Polygamy Advocate, presented polygamy to the public since 1994. National Polygamy Advocate.com.